Blooper reels.
Take two. Rolling. All right. It is the Midnight Blue and Gold Launchpad Podcast post NFL Draft Edition. I am Rocket Ryan Brandt.
And I am PJ Spiller, a.k.a. Pat Jillick.
Crack. I am Dan Rocketman Savage.
And I'm Kyle W.
Engineer, producer extraordinaire. If you wondered what that can was, that was an Icy Light, Iron City Light. Let's raise another. So tonight's podcast is brought to you by Icy Light.
Whether they know it or not.
That's right.
And so, mine was just crack. Weird. And crack.
And I got a big pile of crack over in the corner. That's unusual.
Well, I noticed when he bent over, I saw his crack, but that's something different for another time.
Anyway, hey-o. We're getting right into it.
Not into his crack, hopefully. Anyway, we should have given a little disclaimer before we came on. We were all
prepared. Put the kids to bed, folks.
That's right. So, anyway, the NFL draft was this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And for the first time since 1993, when Dan Williams was picked 11th overall, the Rockets had a draft pick in the form of Quinyon Mitchell, 22nd overall pick, defensive back, two-time All-American cornerback. He is going to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Dan, you were on the scene. You were a correspondent in the trenches. What was it like?
It was, as a Packers fan, it was absolutely unbelievable. And lucky for me, with my green or my yellow Packers hoodie, I had a Toledo jersey over the top, so no one really knew I was a Packers fan.
Good thinking.
Good thinking. Great stealth movement.
You St. John's guys are always kind of, you know, smart.
Well, it's great too because the Lions jumped ahead of the Packers and picked a corner, and then they turned off the audio after the Lions pick, so people were there from Green Bay. And we could not hear
the picks. Oh my God, where people
like,
pissed.
Geez, I waited until 12 here to not hear my Packers pick, but it was all right.
It was like people getting there at 9 a.m., 8 a.m.
It was absolutely a zoo. We got there like 2.5 hours before. You had this little app, you scanned in, got in, and then after that, it was all the streets. There was a TV on every block. Absolute pandemonium, but one of the coolest experiences of life.
Did they have, you know, like food trucks set up or food stands and like, you know, bars everywhere?
Yeah, too many to count. We actually ended up like off the main streets right by Comerica Park.
Okay.
And in there was like a little plaza there and tin roof is right across the street.
Oh, yeah.
It was the easiest access to the porta potties, which we needed to hit quite a few times.
Sure. Yeah, when you get a lot of water in soda pop, you know, you got to
get
rid of it.
And it was chilly too, so you had to walk around to stay warm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but absolutely awesome. The Quinyon pick was something I'll never forget, and we found some Eagles fans that made their way to the front to watch it, and they were like, is he good? Is he good? Said he is he's the best player in Mid-American Conference history.
And probably the best, you know, the best cornerback in this draft. So, yeah. He's kind of good.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
best player in history, though?
It was my claim. I'm going to have to stand on that.
Wow.
Over Big Ben?
We'll see what kind of career he has.
In conference history or team history?
I said Mac.
He said Mac. History.
Okay.
So as long as he stays off a motorcycle, you might have a better legacy than Big Ben.
Stays
out of the bars.
Stays out of the bar bathrooms. He's good.
Brought to you by Icy Light.
Thank God they're sponsored.
Well, they're getting all kinds of pub tonight.
But that's a bold claim, and I like it. I like you going out there.
I really think so, and then... I mean, I could have said in Toledo history, and then he's probably competing with...
Chuck Ealy.
Well, even defensive, like Barry Church, maybe the best. Probably defensive.
Defensive player, maybe. Yeah.
But you know, he's got a legacy to uphold, and so far, so good.
You're calling him out now. Yeah. I like it.
Well, the thing is that I noticed in the first two rounds of the draft, there were no small school people taken. When I say small school, I'm talking FCS and below. But the two non-Power 5 people that were chosen in the two rounds were both from the Mid-American Conference. In that second round,
Western Michigan
was represented. Marshawn Nealon going to the Dallas Cowboys. So it was nice to see the MAC, you know, arguably the worst conference in America, having two guys taken in the first two rounds.
That's the MAC conference to you.
That's the Mid-American Conference.
Mid-American Conference, like going to the ATM machine.
So honestly, with this pick, I don't think he could have went to a better team if you look at the roster.
Exactly.
I don't know if he's a day one starter. I think he might have a year or two to develop.
Yeah.
To get up to speed. And they have some aging corners with Slay and Bradbury.
And not too many better guys to teach them the ropes.
100%. Like, you that's... know,
Darius Slay, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's a great landing spot.
I think he'll start. He might not be a huge impact guy, but
he might be like a nickel or a rotation.
Like, they were terrible on the back end last year.
Yeah, I think he'll be a good nickel guy to start off with.
It's
but I don't think
quite
that's
the coincidence that Matt Patricia rolls in and they were god awful.
Mm-hmm. Good lord. Yeah.
We also had a Finley guy going the sixth round.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which is, he could have been at our pro day at Toledo.
Oh, lineman?
I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Which is incredible, especially.
I know they had a couple Finley guys. They had a couple Tiffin people, a couple people from Hillsdale, I think, and some other schools. Ohio Northern had a player or two at Toledo's pro day. So I'm sure he might have been there.
Yeah, and
he was an O lineman.
Yeah,
nice.
He's a big dude too. So he was like all conference three times and team captain and all that. So
Finley puts out some good stuff.
Yeah, he went to Seattle, I believe. So.
Okay.
Again, they need help too, but I don't know who's going to be throwing the ball there.
Going to be up there with Cody Thompson.
Yeah, that's true.
So in addition to our first-round draft pick in the form of Quinyon Mitchell, we also had four guys sign free agent contracts. Dallas Gant, who just basically followed in your footsteps, Dan, going from St. John's. You didn't go to Ohio State, but ended up at Toledo. So
yes.
He wanted to be like you when he grew up,
yes.
So he did.
We
so
look alike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, twins.
Very
twins.
Similar.
Twinsies.
Twins from other mothers.
That's right. So he's going to the Vikings, and then we got Judge Culpepper going to his hometown Tampa Bay Buccaneers, along with Chris McDonald. He's going to the Buccaneers as well. He's a cornerback. And then David Ngugu going to the Washington Commanders. And going back to McDonald, he's always going to hold a special place in my heart for that pick six right at the end of the first half at Notre Dame.
Yes.
Notre Dame game, yep, absolutely.
And that, and when they showed all the millions of highlight reels we saw of Quinyon this weekend, he had a sack against Notre Dame, which is not something he did all the time.
No.
But McDonald's
fumble, too.
Yeah, and McDonald's film there probably was better than Quinyon's, and that was Quinyon's kind of getting started before he really broke out.
Right.
But
that was McDonald's game.
Yeah, and so McDonald, now, if he gets not put on an island because they're not afraid to go to Quinyon. I mean,
right.
I was texting you, Pat. I was like, he kind of had a rough spot at Toledo being the second corner.
Absolutely.
And he still had an awesome career. So good luck to him. I think he's got a shot to make the 53 man.
Yeah, I think he does have a really good chance to make it. And I mean, just being in that room at Toledo, you look at what Toledo has done in the cornerback room in the last 3 years. We've got Womack. We've got Tyson Anderson. We've got Quinyon Mitchell. We've got McDonald now. And what does that say for Coach Parker and what he's done since he's been here and what Coach Candle has done with that room and, you know, assigning Coach Parker to that, bringing him into the program and doing that? And you're going to see, I think we're going to be kind of a DBU.
We certainly are. I mean,
I think we are now, but I think we're going to become more known for being a defensive back university, whether it's safety or you know, corners. You look at our lineup coming back this year, it's pretty damn strong.
Yeah, Max and Hook and Emil Manuel, Nick McWarren.
Where's Big Ben? That was his breakout player every week.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was.
Is that or the O-line? It was one of the
two. Right. He just took the cop out.
Yeah. He could say O-line. It could be anybody.
Emmanuel McNeil Warren.
That's right.
My player of the breakout player of the week.
I don't know if you saw Kyle Rowland had a nice piece today about the draft picks for next year. Talking about Toledo Rockets.
And way too early draft picks.
Way too early draft picks for articles.
But you know, somebody to keep an eye on for this upcoming year. He had Anthony Torres, the tight end.
Of course.
Maxon Hook, the safety.
Of course.
And Jawan Newton, the wide receiver.
Of course.
So, yeah.
And I don't know what this season holds, but I think you got to throw Jacquez Stewart in there.
Little on the small
He's
side.
He's on the small
but
side,
man,
but for a kick returner? You know, somebody being on special teams, he might not be a draft pick, but he could be a high free agent, you know, signing.
And that's a good point. And then also next year, I mean, the guys that left, like Penny and DQ and Vinny Scurry, those could also be Toledo graduates that end up in the NFL
right.
with a one-year stop in between.
Yeah, because as we talked about before this show, this is not a great year for quarterbacks coming out the next year. So, I mean, if DQ has a solid year at Baylor, I mean, his stock could rise.
Mm-hmm. And everyone gets annoyed with NIL and all these players that leave these smaller programs. And we got lucky enough to hold on to Quinyon for as long as we could hold him.
Right.
It's kind of nice to have second teams to watch. So wherever Penny lands, like, I'll be tuned into every Baylor game I can now to watch DQ play.
Oh, yeah, for
and that's
sure.
kind of fun to have team to watch.
I was kind of that way, the same way through this basketball season.
Oh, yeah.
You know, watching Baylor and seeing
Ray J. Dennis.
Yeah, seeing what Ray J. could do down there. And he performed pretty damn well. So, I mean, it kind of makes you proud. But
yeah, I think they had a women's assistant, too, who was at Toledo forever with Trisha.
Yeah.
On the girls' team, so... Yeah, Baylor might be my second team now. I don't know.
If you're not see Texas Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
Texas Nate gets some input on this.
You know, I was going to create a little graphic because he's on a plane back to Texas right now. Yeah. I was going to put his head on a plane and show him right back. Texas Rocket.
Up the cockpit with him flying the plane. Yeah.
Yeah, he got his wings.
That's right. There you go. Tommy, do you like
a long
movies
time
about,
coming.
You like movies about gladiators? Ever seen a grown man naked? In case you guys are wondering, have your parents
Scraps is a boy dog.
check out Airplane.
We're talking about Airplane 2, yeah.
You won't be disappointed.
Anywho.
And, of course, we got other sports to talk about. All of a sudden, University of Toledo is known as Tennis University. That's what I heard some of the players talking the other day after the women's MAC championship victory. So the men... They win last weekend, or I'm sorry, 2 weekends ago. The women win this past weekend, and we found out where they're playing. So the men, MAC champions for the second year in a row, they'll be heading down to Lexington, Kentucky to take on Illinois out of the Big Ten. The women win their first ever MAC tennis tournament, beating Miami 4-1 this weekend. They will go down to Columbus to take on Ohio State. And guys, I know Pat, you and I and Paulie Newman went this weekend, but... You know, you think of tennis as kind of being a country club, stuffy kind of sport, but man.
Oh, it was a hell of a time.
You kind of described it as going to the Waste Management Open.
Yeah, like the Waste Management Open in Phoenix, you know, the PGA stop. I mean, we got there, we're a few old dudes, and there was some old parents and grandparents sitting on the other side, but then all of a sudden, all these students showed up.
The men's team came to support the women.
Men's team came to support. There was Lady Rockets there for the basketball team. There was the golf team was there.
Swimming and diving.
Everybody was there to support, and it actually got kind of rowdy. It was great.
Well, Pat, you said there was like, what, almost 500 people, you thought?
I thought there was pretty close to 500.
Yeah.
Look at the crowd all the way around the stadium.
Bigger than an Eastern Michigan basketball game when they're not playing
exactly.
the Lady Rockets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, even when we went up there for the men's game, there was maybe 400 people there.
That's a big arena of only 400.
Yeah, it was paltry. It was really kind of sad to sit there and watch the games.
So the men were the 3 seed, and they took down Western Michigan, who is the historic power in the Mid-American Conference.
Right.
Why did we host the men? I mean, the women, I understand, they're the 1 seed. That's why they hosted. Why did the men host?
So you go on the previous year, if you win the tournament.
So you host the next year.
And I said, that'd be awkward if you don't make the tournament. But they say, well, that's the way it goes. Just kind of weird the way that.
Yeah, but it was great. There was a lot of support out there for the Lady Rockets. And it was a fantastic day. I mean, it came down to the last couple matches.
And
literally.
Cassie Acala,
MAC Player of the Year.
Yep, three-time MAC Player of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, and she ended up being the deciding match, which was really exciting. Yeah.
Yes, 6-4, 5-7, 6-4. She really gutted it out there in the third set, and that's after playing doubles. So it's just really interesting the way they do all this. But
they have 3 sets of doubles first, and most of our singles players play in all the doubles matches, our top singles players.
Yeah, the men's match last week or 2 weekends ago was more of a blowout. I would say the Miami game, even though it was still 4-1, it was a lot closer.
It sure was. Oh, really? It came down to the singles matches, and
we were out there for about 4 hours.
So, yeah, and women are now 18-5 overall, 9-1 in the MAC this year. And congrats to MAC, two-time MAC Coach of the Year, Tracy Montler.
Tracy does a great job.
Awesome.
The pride of Clearfield, Pennsylvania, by way of Bucknell University. She's been here a long time, 21 years, and just can't happen to a better
lady. Yeah, exactly. And it was great after, you know, when they were taking pictures of, you know, with the team and the trophy and everything afterwards. They were taking a team picture, and all of a sudden everybody noticed, hey, Tracy's not in there. And she's like off being congratulated by somebody, and she's like, I've waited 21 years for this picture. Let me get up there.
Yeah, because they were the one seed last year, and like, yeah. Ball State or someone knocked them off.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Long time coming.
Right. Absolutely. Well deserved. And it was great to be there and help support. And couldn't happen to a better group of ladies. And Tracy said the whole time, this team has battled. They've been through a lot of trials and tribulations, injuries, and they've gotten beaten by teams they shouldn't have been beaten by, and then come back and won games and won matches that, you know, a lot of people thought they couldn't do. And so they're a group of fighters, and I think she was really proud of that. And for her first, you know, tournament victory, it was a great atmosphere.
So we find out that the men, let's see the women. Like we mentioned, they're going to be playing at Columbus, looks like May 3rd, which is this coming Friday, and that's the women. As far as the men, they play at 1 o'clock against Illinois down in Lexington on also Friday, May the 3rd. So it's one of those deals where if you're a fan of both men's and women's, you're going to probably have to make a decision.
Yeah,
it's exactly. A good problem to have. It really is.
Exactly.
It is. I mean, you know, seems like all we do is just win championships.
And shout out to Barron on the golf team.
Yeah, absolutely.
MAC player of the year and number back one scorer. Yeah, awesome.
Back to back MAC player of the year, and he won pretty handily yesterday.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a Jacoby Award or whatever they call the all conference.
The all MAC.
We're going to be definitely in it. I know Kent usually has enough extra sports. Like, they dominate in lacrosse and baseball, women's golf. And softball. Yeah, so. Yeah. It's going to be tough, but just to be in the conversation is exactly Absolutely. What we like as Toledo Athletic Department fans.
So, yeah, Barron, computer's taking a while to load up here, but, yeah, he 11 under par, 205. He becomes the first individual in back-to-back MAC championships. So congrats to the pride of George, South Africa. I can tell you he's not a commuter student. I know that right away.
He has an awesome accent when you listen to him talk. He sounds cool.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the South African accent is a weird cross between almost British and Australian.
Yeah.
It's really very cool. So as we move along in the spring sports, we're going to look to reach out to Coach McDonough from the track team, see if we can have her on the podcast at some point in the near future, because they're having a great season as well. Their distance runners are tearing it up. And we're going to start rolling into football. We're going to reach out to the coaches from the football team and a few of the players we've made contact with to get them on the program and see how spring practice went, where we're looking at going into summer and the fall.
I know Nate Cole is chomping at the bit to be on with us. I mean,
as is Mr. Torres.
Yeah, Torres.
Anthony Torres is very pumped to be on the show. We've got a couple other players and coaches lined up, and
you know, and the great thing of it is we're calling them out right now. So if they don't come out, it makes them look bad.
Yeah. You might have to lower your door frame to get Anthony down here. I'm just saying.
Yeah. He's going to definitely have to duck to get down the stairs.
He's a tall drink of water, as they say.
So that being said, I think that Rocket Man Dan has a little
before we get to that though. Don't forget about Rocket Baseball. Things have
snowballed a little
plateaued
bit.
Gone south, yeah. Let's put it that way. They're still above 500 in the MAC at 13-11, 20-24 overall. But, down at OU this past weekend, computer, come on now, load up here. But I think they lost 2 out of 3, is that correct?
I think so, and we had IPFW earlier in the week. Not sure how we did, but we lost all 4 games last week, so we're struggling a little bit, and then that team down south, for some reason, won like 15 games in a row, which is unbelievable.
BG, they were on fire.
And then Ohio got them, though, too, so Ohio might be one of those teams to watch for.
Well, don't forget, too, that the Rockets will be playing Bowling Green, those dirty birds from down south. They will be playing at Fifth Third Field coming up on the 17th, which is a Friday, April 17th. And
You mean May 17th.
Did I say April? I meant May. No, wait.
We're going back in time.
What the hell is this?
Back in time.
Let's see. Hold on. Stand by. Daggone computer. We're sorry. You are correct. Right, you are correct. May 17th. Jesus Christ.
It's the 2019 schedule. Yeah. Rocket, right?
Yeah, it's these Budweiser zeros. Maybe I need to
see that computer is really
need
slow.
Some alcohol on me. But yeah, so they play host to them May 17th. That's a Friday night, and it's a lot of fun when it's played at Fifth Third Field. So
it was a good time seeing, you know, UT play Michigan there. Tight game. You know, the Rockets held tough, but ended up losing in the end. But it was a great atmosphere for sure.
And I want to, the last episode, me and Rocket Ryan were not on. I just want to do a shout out to Alex from the Max Sports Connection podcast and Jim Heller. It was the day of the eclipse, and it was like an eclipse with Alex just going right in front of the Jim Heller sun. And it was a great listen. So if you haven't listened, go back an episode.
I was going to bring up if
Alex
you were...
Alex and Nate, Jesus.
Jimmy.
Nate was sitting there on the sidelines. I'm sorry. Oh, but yeah, Jimmy had, they had a great episode.
Well, I was going to ask if Ryan or Rocket Man had anything to say about Trisha since you missed the last episode, and that's pretty much what we focused on.
Really sad to see her go. Obviously, more accomplishments than any really MAC coach in women's basketball history. But we, you know, I was at Jenny's press conference, our new women's basketball head coach, and she has talked the talk. So I'm excited to see her walk the walk. So far, so good.
And she's kept most of the players around. We lost Macy Fagan into the transfer portal last week. I did see today where Sophia Wired signed with a pro team in Spain. I don't have the exact team at this point, but she did sign this afternoon.
And nobody would know it even if you said it, so don't worry about it.
And then, of course, Quenisha signed with the Minnesota Lynx.
So we have both of our Qs are playing at the highest professional level.
Yes. Absolutely.
What a time to be alive.
And I tell you what, sure is.
What a time to be a Q.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Trisha's going to be missed, but wish her nothing but luck and success. I mean, 16 years here, she did us proud. And
she still has stayed in touch with the players and the program and wishing us, you know, luck in social media avenues and doing as such. So I think there's always going to be a special place in her heart, I would think, for Toledo. Yeah. And now we begin. I had a really hard time with the word begin. Jesus. The Ginny Bogus. Or Bogus. Era.
Bogus. You say Bogus, I say Bogus.
It's not Bogus.
It's not Bogus. It's not Bogus. It's Bogus.
And before we get to Dan's exciting quiz here, women's softball. They have their final two series of the regular season this week. They host Miami.
Then Buffalo.
Tomorrow and then Buffalo. Yes, thank you. And
Kristen and I are going to the Buffalo game.
How about that? So the Rockets, 22-19 overall, 12-8 in the MAC, and they're in fourth place. So the top four make the MAC tournament. And you and Kristen will have a great time because she is a former softball player.
Exactly.
And that's Kyle's wife, too. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
It all comes together here.
We're going to be heading out there next Saturday, I think, for the second game of the doubleheader. So hopefully the Rockets will still be in contention at that point. But anyway, so we're going to move along and
I'm going
to transition from the spring sports to a little segment we call Dan's Dandies.
They call me Dan Trebek here. We're going to play a little game, okay?
All right.
So before we get into the rules of the game, do you guys know how many total draftees we've had at the University of Toledo?
Ish. 63?
Yeah, so I have 61 here. This is counting all of the rounds where, you know, it's only been in a certain format for maybe 35 years.
I was going to say 65.
But... So 61 is what I have here. That's Wikipedia, though. Could be one or two off. And we have had 32 in the top seven rounds. So that's what I would consider actual draftees.
Actual drafts, yeah.
Our first player drafted was Tony Popp back in 1939. He went in the 20th round of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
The 20th round.
Yeah.
Was it Tony?
Exactly. That was him.
20 rounds. Yeah. What year was that?
1939.
Well, I remember up until about the mid-70s, there were 17 rounds.
And it was the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I never knew they were a football team.
Yep. So I'm going to be a player.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a stat. And if you get the first one, you get 5 points. Second one, you get 4. Down to 1. So the questions get easier.
All right.
You can answer as many times as you want. I don't really care. It's going to be Pat versus Ryan here.
All right.
And I'm Dan Trebek.
All right.
So, 5-point question. His son is a WWE pro wrestler. Have a guess.
Son.
Dan Williams.
Incorrect.
Brent Williams.
5 points to Rocket Ryan.
You wouldn't have got that if I would have said Dan Williams.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Thanks for the Williams hint.
I'll go through the other little tidbits about him, too. From Flint Northern High School. He was drafted in the 7th round. He was drafted to the New England Patriots in 1986, so that makes sense why you would know the name.
Yep.
And he played defensive end.
Yep, he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Yep.
I remember walking on campus across the, right there by the library, stopped and shook his hand. And
so are these all football, or are they
yes.
multiple sports?
Okay. Yep, so it's okay. just football players okay. That have been in the top 7 rounds.
Okay.
Second player, he was a Super Bowl champ. There's a lot of we've got more than one, so
yeah
we have more hints or we,
oh yeah that was just a 5-pointer okay. so you gotta, if you're taking a step
Barry Church
no
he wasn't
guy from the Miami Dolphins the defensive back Curtis Johnson
yes
oh
really
wow. 4 points most of his NFL career was with Oakland
Wow.
Bruce Gradkowski?
Oakland. I can't remember anybody who got drafted by Oakland.
Oh, he was drafted by Oakland. Shit, that wouldn't have been Gradkowski. Sorry, guys.
All right, 3-point question.
Okay.
He was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Clarence Love?
There you go. 3 points, Rocket Ryan.
Son of a bitch.
I didn't even know Clarence Love was on the...
Yeah, he 2-point question would have been
he played on the Eagles when they won.
He played safety, I believe so. Yes, and he donned the Toledo script on the helmet. He was the first team to ever do that in the late 90s.
Hmm.
So
really,
he went from the UT to the Toledo and the Rocket that we nice. Currently have. So
that's a huge bit of trivia.
Yeah, it is. Jeez,
3 points, Rocket Ryan. He's in the lead.
Where are you finding these facts?
Really, Wikipedia is a beautiful thing, guys. All right, 5-point question. Next player. He coached at St. Francis de Sales High School.
Bruce Gadkowski.
Although he also did.
But. Well, yeah.
I feel like that was a trick question to get you.
Not Mike Kennedy.
What the fuck? No, Kennedy didn't coach there.
Mm-hmm. No.
4-point question.
He was a football coach there or another sport?
Just coached.
Just coached. Okay.
Life coach.
John Mattingly. Don Mattingly.
He was born in 1943.
Don Mattingly was probably 20 and 43. Born in 1943. Grandma that play. Not the Kennedys. Damn, I'm at a loss. Next clue.
He played quarterback and safety.
At UT or in St. Francis?
I never said he played at St. Francis.
John Schneider?
Oh, he coached at St. Francis.
Yep. 2-point question. He was drafted by the Browns.
Yeah, this is like final Jeopardy.
Tom Butler? Butler?
This is like final Jeopardy.
Yeah, this is like final Jeopardy for sure. So... Played at UT, drafted,
mm-hmm.
and was a coach at St. Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to hate myself.
You're going to be kicking yourself when you get the 1-pointer. That's why it's a 1-pointer.
Oh, fuck. yeah, I don't know.
Okay. He was UT's head coach from 1982 to 1989.
Jesus Christ. No, it wasn't Amstutz.
82 to 89. Oh,
Dan Simmerl.
Yeah, there you go.
I did not.
In 1965, he coached 1 year at St. Francis.
Oh, my God.
Legend, Dan Simmerl.
He was drafted by the Browns?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a little probably small, so he played safety.
Wow. Damn. That's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
That literally, that was like a Final Jeopardy question.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to be maybe a little easier.
Daily double.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun to pull the older names where I'm like, okay, I know, at least I know who that guy is. So
yeah, you have some idea who he is.
All right, 5-point question on the next guy. He's 6 foot, 224 pounds.
6'2", 224. Well, Sean Tate.
Kareem Hunt.
Good guesses. 4-point
Terry
question.
Swine.
You only get one question, one answer per point.
All right. Drop it down.
Who in the hell's Terry Swine?
Terry Swine.
Son.
I said that.
Oh,
kind of.
Said Swine.
Swine. 4-pointer. He's from Boynton Beach, Florida.
Oh. And his size was?
6 foot, 224.
Jeez, that's down by West Palm. I should know this.
Right, you should.
Yeah, I'd be all over it, like flies on a rib roast.
I didn't know this. I didn't know where this. This was where this player was from.
Not Dave Llewellyn.
Nope.
I'm gonna go to the next and see if you have a position.
3-point question. He had a losing record his junior and senior year at Toledo. We don't lose a lot, folks.
No,
so.
No, we don't.
It's not Barry Church.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
He's from Pittsburgh. Wasn't that big. He's from Pittsburgh.
He was taller. And from the Berg, yeah.
Down there from the Berg.
Down there
drinking
from the Berg.
Drinking them IC lights.
Not as much as we are.
You guys ready for the 2-pointer?
Yeah.
2-pointer. Drafted by the Dolphins in the 6th round.
Oh, Jalen Parmalee.
There you go.
Damn it.
Yep.
Right. Does Ryan have all the points?
It was right there. Ryan has all the points, of course. I'm just sitting here watching.
But you gave me the Williams, so I feel like I need to share.
I'm sitting here just
looking pretty.
Looking pretty and basking in your glow.
The 1-pointer was he played running back with Trinity Dawson.
Yeah, so. that would have tripped my, my trigger.
I'll trip your trigger, big boy.
All right, we got 4 more questions left.
All right,
so there's 20 possible points to gain here.
All right. I still have a chance. So you're saying I still have a chance.
Yes. Rally caps.
For 5 points, he wore number 94 in the NFL.
He wore number 94 in the NFL.
Trayvon Hester?
Brent Williams.
4-pointer. He was first team All-Mac once and second team All-Mac twice.
Not Dan Williams.
I don't know. It's right on the tip of my tongue, though.
All right. 3 points. He was drafted by the Rams.
Oh. Jesus Christ. It was just like 3 years ago.
Like 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Deswan Johnson?
Deswan Johnson.
Yep. God damn it.
He gave him another hit.
I know.
Just
feeding him.
How many points does Pat get for assists?
Yeah, are there any assist points in this?
I didn't have the DraftKings over-under assist.
Oh, my God.
The 2-point question was he was Mr. Irrelevant, which I think would have given it
that
away.
Yeah.
And then he plays defensive end was the 1
right.
player. All right, next player. For 5 points, he played tight end in college.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of different eras. If we're going way back.
Oh, Michael Roberts.
No.
Yeah. Worth a stab. You knew he'd play tight end.
He knew he'd play tight end. Next question.
He was drafted by the Baltimore Colts in the 7th round.
Oh, Baltimore Colts. So we're going way back.
Wow.
Is it someone we know?
I don't know who you guys know.
Well, I mean, look at this guy.
I can go through your phone book and tell you if he's on there.
Next.
3-point question. He had a 4-year NFL career.
Drafted by the Colts.
4-year NFL career.
Hmm. No, I don't.
Yeah, next.
2-point question. He is a junior.
He is a junior.
So he's got the JR in the back of his jersey.
Right, right. I'm like, he still has eligibility?
He played for Baltimore Colts?
Well, you know, COVID and
yeah, got all these, you know, red shirt years, COVID.
The Black Plague.
Yeah.
Goes all the way back, the Spanish flu.
I'm sure there's SARS in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And Johnny Unitas Jr. I have no idea, dude.
All right, 1-point question. He graduated in 1969.
Giggity.
Giggity.
So he was on one of Chuck Ealy's teams.
Oh, Jesus.
It's been so long, I can't remember what the first question was anymore.
He was a tight end.
Yeah. So Mel Long was a receiver.
Mel Long Jr.
He was a junior.
Yeah, but this is a...
It's a third, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a junior.
It's a junior.
Oh, junior. Mel Long was a receiver.
Oh, not Ross. John Ross? No.
Mm-mm.
All right. We're done.
For 0 points, Roland Moss Jr.
Oh, man. Wow. He played tight end? He
played tight end.
Wow.
No idea.
He was running back then.
Yeah, he was a running back.
I mean, he could have been a halfback, blocker.
Fullback.
Different positions kind of then. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, that was a tough one. I didn't know if you guys would know the name. Now,
I'm
sure
it
rings,
Ross,
rings a bell.
Once,
yeah,
once you said his name, it rang a bell. But, geez.
Wow. All right. The penultimate player here.
All right.
For 5 points, he started in 62 NFL games.
Kareem Hunt.
Barry Church.
Dan Williams.
No more points yet. You have to wait. 4 points. He never had a losing season at UT.
Mel Long.
Darren Anderson.
For 3 points. He wore number 77.
No, that's Mel. That's Mel Long.
It's usually O-line.
Yeah.
The guy from Ontario.
It's got to be one of the Rossies.
Thinking, yeah.
They've been offensive linemen there forever.
The guy from Ontario that...
Oh, God, yeah. Who was that? I don't know. Next question.
Yeah.
Next clue.
2-point question. He weighed 315 pounds.
Damn.
The number 77 might kind of correlate with that, but...
I was going to say, he must have been one of the first 300-pounders. 77.
Played for the Patriots.
Played for the Patriots.
I didn't say that.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's rock and roll. He's trying to give you an assist here.
What was this year?
The year was never given.
Oh. He was drafted. Never.
He played 62, started in 62 NFL games. He never had a losing season.
John Greco.
Kevin Kowalski.
The 1-pointer. He was the All-Patriots 2000s team.
Yeah. I forget his name. His fourth round pick.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He's probably my favorite player growing up. One of them.
Get in trouble with some steroid thing.
I'm not saying anything else. You guys got to dig for this 1 point.
Okay. I'm giving it to you, Pat, because
He played with John Greco.
I know.
I know, too. I can't think of his name.
Mick Kazer.
Kazer. Yes, oh, my God. Yeah. Bitch. K-A-Z-C-U-R.
Yeah,
that's one of the ones the fans may have picked up a point on you guys.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're probably yelling at their
phones. Yelling at their phones or their headphones.
All right, the final guy here.
All right.
For 5 points, he is from another MAC school's city.
Dan Williams.
Dan Williams.
Ypsilanti.
From Ipsy.
Yep.
The four-point question there was he played for two NFL teams in one division. So he played for the Broncos and Chiefs. He played defensive end. He was Toledo's highest draft pick ever. I assume you guys would get there by now. And then he shares a last name with another UT draftee, Brett Williams.
And it started off the way it ended.
Way to shut me out, mofo.
That was a blowout. I don't think we need to tally the score here.
I don't think we ever need to do that game again.
But if you guys like it, put it in the comments.
Oh, I like it. We should do it again.
We can definitely play it again. We can do it for all different sorts of
sports. We should, what we could do is see if there's a fan out there that thinks they can beat. Thinks that they can beat Rocket Ryan.
Yeah. We could have them on.
I like that idea.
I love that idea.
See, that's why you are engineer producer extraordinaire.
Yeah, we have somebody on, and if anybody out there wants to, you know, chime in and give us
some questions. Thinks they can beat Rocket Ryan in some UT trivia.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be draft picks. Obviously, you could easily now go look up that, and you'd have an advantage here, but you can do it with any UT trivia.
Somebody wants to give us some questions, you know?
Write them in.
Get involved that way.
Keep them away from Rocket Ryan so we can't see.
Right.
Yeah.
I like to be challenged.
Stump the Schwab. Rest in peace, by the way.
Super Sky Point. The big fella.
If you send him to Kyle, shoot, I'll try to play. It's got to be a chance.
Got to have a chance.
We have a three-person quiz here. Yeah. You know? That'd be kind of fun. So
you just leave me out. I get it.
Well, if you get a point more than a point next time.
I might be involved in the next round.
Sorry, Pat. I got Dejuan.
Yeah, he did get
I had that on the mind.
I was right there. It was on the tip of my tongue, but that doesn't count. So anyway.
Could have made that easier by saying.
I'm happy taking a back seat and watching everything evolve.
I could have said he wears 94, and you'd be like, it's someone that's still in the NFL. It's got to be Dejuan.
Right.
Yeah, you worded that perfectly.
Yeah, I was like, You guys got there, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
guys, what do you think, fellas?
It was a fun night.
Yeah.
And we appreciate everybody listening. It was, been a great week to be a Rockets fan. In fact, the last couple of years has been a great time to be a Rockets fan.
We're right up there in the top of the award, the Bradley Award or whatever it is for the...
what the hell's the name of that award?
I don't know.
The Reese, the trophy,
and
all that.
The Reese and Jacoby.
Yeah, Jacoby.
That's right.
But anyway,
named after Brooke Jacoby, the former third baseman of the Indians. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's just get out of here.
I think we need to shut it down.
We're getting sleepy. Anyway, on behalf of engineer producer extraordinaire Kyle W. Smith, I am Rocket Ryan.
I am PJ Spiller.
Crack. I am Dan Rocketman Savage.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Rockets. T-U-L.
EDO.